Hi, I'm Jackie Tantillo, and this is Should Have Listened to My Mother. Does our past define us? It doesn't have to, but for the most part, I believe it does, for better or worse. We're certainly capable of creating our own destiny, but that has the potential of being a bit more challenging. If you had rotten parents, does that give you the right of passage to treat your children the same? Non-supportive mom or dad, neither could hold down a job, you going to do the same? Mom or dad work 2 to 3 jobs a day, trying to put food on the table and make ends meet? Is that your role model? Raising a family can be very difficult, and as we get older, we begin to understand what our parents experienced and sacrificed just to make it through each day. An honest day's work, where you're respected and appreciated, that's the least we can ask for from an employer. But what do you do if you're not respected at your workplace? I know many friends and coworkers that are not treated well, underappreciated and underpaid. Often you can't just walk away from your job. Though sometimes you just have to do it out of respect for yourself. Walk away. That said, my guest came to understand the long-lasting repercussions of his mother walking away from a legitimate job because of bad working conditions and a lack of respect on the part of his mother's employer. Here to share stories of his mom is Trevor Alexander, who's joining us via Zoom from Ottawa, Canada. Hi, Trevor. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Very good, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me on.
So when you initially emailed me, you mentioned that your mom really made a lasting impression on you by a decision that she made. Can we first start off with your mom's name?
Yeah, absolutely. So her full name is actually Constance, which I always thought interesting. I've never honestly met another Constance, but it's always shortened to Connie. So Connie is my mom.
So you're in Ottawa.
That's correct. Yep.
And your parents, full-blooded Canadians.
That's correct, yeah. And we came from southern Ontario, so more towards the Toronto area.
Connie made a decision. How old were you when you were experiencing this life-changing event?
So I would have been somewhere between 12 and 14, so kind of those early teen years.
And life was perfectly wonderful before that. Your mom, what did she do? Tell us a little bit about what she did and where she worked.
So she was an x-ray technologist. So she was working at a facility that focused on x-rays. It was sort of serendipitous because I was a very active kid and a very accident-prone kid. So in my lifetime, I've broken some 9 odd bones. So it's about the worst example of take your kid to work day, where she would bring me in and be the one x-raying my broken bones.
And it'd save you money, I hope.
So that was always great. So yeah, she worked as x-ray technologist. I thought that was a fascinating job with what she did. And it's a difficult field. There's a lot of studying, a lot of literature to keep up on, but she seemed to really love the work, seemed to enjoy helping people. And that's was always my impression of it as I watched her go.
And this is years of studying and becoming qualified in order to be, it's not just a walk in one day and all of a sudden, okay, start doing x-rays, right?
No, exactly. Like it's constant study. There's always new machinery or techniques that you need to keep up on. So she had come from a nursing background as well. She had done a bit of work in the emergency rooms as well, and then transitioned into this x-ray technologist field. So there was a difficult field to get into and stay on top of, but she really seemed to take to the work for sure.
Okay. And do you have siblings?
I do. So there's 4 of us all together. So I have perfectly split down the middle. So I have one older brother and then I have 2 sisters. So 2 and 2, which was exactly as my mom had always hoped for. She always wanted 2 boys, 2 girls. So as a nice gift to her that she got exactly that.
And did either of your sisters, were they accident prone or just you were the only one in the family?
I was the only one. It was utterly wild. I don't even know if any of my other siblings broke it. I think in adulthood, perhaps a sprain, but everybody else was living perfect lives and I was just getting banged up left, right, and center.
Well, but you had this one-on-one time with your mom, so that's a wonderful way to look at it, I think. Okay, so, oh, wait, first of all, I must say, was this due to athletics, or you were just accident-prone, like stumbling over your feet or something?
if I can say both. So it's a problem of being accident-prone while playing sports. So a lot of it happened while playing hockey, you know, classic Canadian, just going into that stereotype. But playing hockey, sledding down hills often, soccer, I broke something pretty bad at one point. So a mixture of clumsiness with a desire to play sports.
So you get to go to your mom with your mom to get yourself checked out, right? And then eventually this all changed. Your mom made a decision.
Yeah, and it was interesting getting it explained because, again, she was great about segmenting what she was like at work with what she was at home. So if you would ask me up until that point, was anything wrong? Was she unhappy with the work? I would say no. Now, she always kind of left that at the door when she came in, which was a great kindness that she paid to us, given what she was going through. So we came to learn that she was just utterly miserable at this job. And, you know, I think a lot more details I've learned as I've gotten older and able to talk to her about it. But in truth, it just, the place was terrible. It is probably as simple a way to put it. Didn't treat the staff well, booked over shifts, had terrible demands, didn't hire enough people, kind of your classic type of toxic environment. And she's, at this point, she's staring down the reality that she has four kids at home. My father worked full-time as well. And between the two of them, they scratched together a living. We never wanted for anything, but we were certainly not well off by any stretch. So with the two of them working, we were doing fine. So with that pressure comes, you know, that drive to stay in the job you have, especially when it's a fairly qualified field and she wants to keep with it. But it just, there was a breaking point. And there was a point when she looked at the scenario and just said, I cannot in good faith keep this going. Like, I'm worth more than this. And in some ways needing to make a statement to my kids too, to show like you stand up for yourself. You don't get pushed around and get taken advantage of. So she came to the very difficult conclusion, difficult because it was going to throw the family into some turmoil. We were going to have some very lean times, but she decided it was worth it for the family, and incredibly brave and really impactful for me and my siblings.
How long do you think she was there that it was unbearable? How many years, was it years or just months or the whole time she was working at this job, was she unhappy?
Unbearable? I think it probably would have been a year because she's a very strong woman. She's a smart woman. She's a very strong woman. Not proud, but strong, in so much that I know this to be true, that she wouldn't have put up with it much longer. Despite all the risks and the challenges we'd have as a family, she wouldn't put up with it for too long. So I think it probably started to get pretty bad for a while. And really, I think within the last year she was working, it just really turned the corner until she had to make her stand.
It's amazing how, Pete, you can stay in jobs where you're miserable for years, let alone decades sometimes, right? And and you're like, where did my life go? So kudos to her for making this really, really challenging decision. Did she want to continue in this field, another job as an X-ray technician, or she just wanted to throw the whole thing out, the baby with the bathwater?
I think if given the choice, she would have liked to stay with it. Again, she's a very nurturing, caring soul. And I think that connection to other people and helping them through their difficulties resonated with her. And of course, I mean, she got into it for a reason with passion, but I think certainly the experiencer threw it off it for a while. And in the immediate aftermath, we needed to make ends meet. Like, she needed to get a job so the family could eat. And what she ended up doing, she worked in a bakery at a supermarket in the town next door, which again would just, it resonated with me so much that she's in this field, fairly high regarded, but she stands her ground, refused to be taken advantage of. And the immediate payback for that is that she has to wake up at 3 a.m. because the bakers at these places need to get everything, you know, fresh and ready for like 6, 7, and 8.
Sure.
So all of a sudden she's waking up at like 3 a.m. to go work 8-12 hour shifts at this grocery store baking just so the family can make do. And, you know, this is obviously a show about her, but I'll give a small shout out to my father, who his support of her, thank goodness, during that as well, as far like he would wake up and like drive her there. He entirely supported the decision, as did the rest of the family. But just remembering how early she had to wake up and how difficult that job was. And the wildest thing about all of it is the fun stories she would come back with. it was stunning that, and another one of those lasting impressions upon me that made such a great impact was it could have been so, she would have been absolutely forgiven to be miserable, you know, and she had to leave a job because she was badly treated, goes to another job where she's up at 3 a.m. on her feet for 8 hours a day. You have every right in that scenario to be utterly miserable, but she was making friends. She was having hilarious stories. She was bringing back bakery.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you got to get some good goodies.
So to see her there and thriving, and then all of her coworkers loved her. So if we ever went and like we saw her working, like they're beaming about her as well. She was just making this place a joy. So she's this light. She's this powerful, strong woman who wasn't going to put up with the bad scenario, stood up for herself. Humongous props. And then she goes to this other job, which is incredibly difficult, super early. And she's just this beacon of light and positivity, making the most of it, having a great time. It's just what is there anything this woman can't do? So to see to stand up for yourself, to be strong in your conviction, and to be a positive light wherever you go, it's hard to overstate how impactful that is and amazing.
What hits me as you're telling these stories is that one would think that she would be maybe embarrassed or resentful, and that it would be demeaning, like all this schooling, this professional career as an X-ray technician. And then she's going to a supermarket, but she had a smile on her face, and maybe there just was that joy there, that there was none of that stress and negativity from her previous job. So that tells you a lot about one's personality and their heart, how big their heart is, and how wonderful they are.
Yeah, I think it certainly plays into this story, and that's a really great thread you just pulled on, because she came from a family with 12 kids on a farm. Yeah.
And this
was a true farm. Like, she has stories about putting carrots in the sand in the basement so they would save over the winter, you know, waxing turnips, just nonstop work. Like, there was constant chores. Like, they farmed to eat as well as make a living. So that type of like down to earth, humble, like you have to work and contribute and appreciate what you have. I think that instilled in her that amazing work ethic. Mm-hmm. And that certain humility. And it's the thought that she knows where she came from in that. And she knows how hard that type of hard labor is. So fantastic for loading somebody up in their careers, I think, where you know what a true day's work looks like. You know, to have your hands, you know, sore and calloused from pulling up soil.
Right. And the earth.
As much as baking bread might be difficult, I don't think she would ever see it as demeaning, because she, you know, you can always remember, like, she knows where she came from. She knows where she could go back to. So to even have this opportunity, and I think a lot of way too, so there's that humble aspect, I think, that was embedded through her, through that. It's not difficult childhood, like it was traumatic or bad. Difficult as in there was work to be done on the farm. So to come from that and then to arrive where she was at, I think it just gives her that positivity and that humility to be appreciative of where she is and to make the most of it. I think she would say, like, why bother being miserable? Like, what would I gain by being upset? Yeah. I may as well make the most of it.
It gets in the way. It really just gets in the way. And I think, I mean, I'm from a family of 7, not 12, but, and I didn't have to work on a farm, but we did have to clean our house every weekend. And we, you know, we had a lot of, but the flexibility, I think, of coming from a large family too, it, it frees you of a lot of things that can sometimes get in the way, you know?
No, for sure. I think there's a certain selflessness that comes from it, because there's not as much individuality in a family unit.
Oh, absolutely. So it's not one, it's all. you don't really get the spotlight too much on one. I mean, you do, but it's one of the many wonderful things about being from a big family. So how old were you when you kind of were figuring this out about your mom's demeanor and her personality and her strength and wisdom and love?
Yeah, I think it'd probably be more in my 20s, really. So at the time, I can remember a sense of pride, even back then, that she made that proud stand, that she stood up for herself, that she continued to be positive. At the moment, I certainly realized it. It made the impact. But, you know, as I continue on in my own career, going through my own, you know, adversities and trials as I've, you know, worked away, upon that reflection, it constantly circles back to thinking about how wonderful she is. You know, I think, for instance, like as I was working hard and as I had some very fortunate mentors as I was starting to come up, to think about my mom and how amazing she was to me, and what an amazing gift that is. Because the more people you meet, the more, you know, you'll eventually learn some stories, unfortunately, that didn't have as stable of household, didn't quite have the positive parental influence that maybe I did. Mm-hmm. So the thought that I was gifted that, the thought, it's an absolute lottery to be born to somebody as caring and loving and wonderful as she is. So the thought that I wouldn't just give life my absolute all, work harder than I could possibly imagine, because how you can be given such a gift and not do everything in your power to take advantage of it, it seemed incalculable to me. So I think I worked incredibly hard during my 20s and often reflected back on just how amazing my parents were to me, especially my mom, and how I needed to, I don't want to say earn it. It's just understand it and like make it worth something, like to really benefit from the gift that I've been given of being born to them.
Are both of your parents still with us?
They are, thankfully, yes.
Oh, wonderful. And a shout out to your dad, too. What is his name?
His name is Jim.
Jim. And I was curious, did they talk about all of these things together and figure out the plan before they would come and talk to the kids? Was that what their relationship was about?
Yeah, they're a great team. Like, they do really well together. They have some very good balancing aspects to the relationship. And no matter what kind of the decision of the household was, it really felt like they were on the same page. So
That's huge. That is so huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, to see them, I can't say, I never saw them having a little meeting, a little parental meeting, but I imagine with my sons too, they'll never see my wife and I having a meeting deciding what the fate is going to be.
Sure. And they shouldn't necessarily until it's ready, the decision has been made for the family to know, all that kind of thing. There's big ears on those little kids, always.
you don't think
they're listening, but they are. But, you know, kids are pretty smart. That's for sure.
Oh, way too smart.
Yeah. What is your relationship like with your mom now? Are all of your siblings as keyed into how wonderful Connie is?
Mm-hmm. No, they really are. I think, not sure how everyone, I know they all arrived at the same spot. And again, it's one of those blessed things that when you grow up, you kind of exposure to so many different people, so many different family makeups. And you see how, you know, people are, there's humans, everyone's human out there. So naturally, the situation is going to happen. Not everyone's going to have necessarily the same family relationship, the positive family vibe. So as we went out and made friends, and then we would come back to the family unit and see how loving and happy it was, it really dawns on you, like, this is special. This is fantastic. So with all the kids have come to the same realization, I think, and it's, you can certainly feel it when we all get together, and it's just an excitement. One of my mom's she almost called it her crowning achievement in some ways, is that how happy it is that whenever we get together, we're happy to be together. And it's like, we're excited to like hang out with one another. She's just so thrilled that it's, we, the family, wants to be together. Wow, and if anything, that's got to give her a lot of peace to the thought that when eventually she passes on, like the siblings will always still be together as a family.
Well, and that's a pretty big thing to come by, because there's so many families that don't have that. And my two sons are in college. One's getting ready to graduate this spring, but their eyes are popped open because they realize how fortunate they are, and not with material things and financial bank accounts busting because they don't have that. but we have a pretty great, I mean, my family and my siblings and my husband and my boys, we are really, really tight. I mean, we just love spending time together, and they've really learned to be appreciative being away in college and meeting people from all over the place, that we're really very, very fortunate. And it shouldn't be taken for granted.
Yeah, I think it's one of the greatest things I think about that exploration as a young man or woman, is that exposure and just realizing that the thing you had back home isn't necessarily the norm. And I think that's actually beneficial. If it's unfortunate, it was a bad situation, you can get out in the world and learn that, no, there is love. There is kindness and happiness. But if you came from love, happiness, and kindness, you can realize that, oh, how precious that is, because that's not necessarily the lottery that everybody won. So it's certainly eye-opening. I think that makes an impression. One of the best things about young people heading out into the world and getting to experience it, I think.
Is your mom's siblings, are they still with us?
Many of them. Unfortunately, some have passed, and that's certainly been hard.
So when you see them, the ones that are still luckily here, is your mom, is she like goes back to being a little kid again? The pecking order? Where was she in the 12? I'm curious.
Oh, again, I'd have to do the math, but she's in the upper end. She's one of the first four, I think, four or five. So she's on the upper end of them for sure.
So she was kind of the parent for the younger siblings in a way, I'd bet.
Mm-hmm. That certainly came up. Like at least there's some benefit to having 12, whereas by the time you have the 6, you already have like four built-in babysitters for you.
Absolutely.
Gosh. But it's always funny. It's funny how she, again, it's one of those like things only upon reflection that you appreciate. But one of the funny things was her attitude towards us as kids with chores, because her childhood was spent working like nonstop on the farm, right? Again, they were trying to survive. And I'll say hard, and I hope everyone understands it's not hard as in abusive or bad, but just hard as in working and difficult. But with that hard childhood, she would have been forgiven, much like with the negativity thoughts, she would have been forgiven to have espoused that onto us kids as well. When I was a kid, I worked super hard and I did all these chores, so your kids are going to do it as well. But her take on it, which I thought was so gracious, was, when I was a kid, I lost all my childhood to working, and I had to do chores all the time, and I wasn't allowed to be a kid. I will not do that with my kids. I want them to have a chance to play and explore and express their creativity. You know, I'm not going to force them into a whole ton of chores. Like, sure, we had some responsibilities, as would be reasonable, but she did not enforce anything close to the type of regimen she went through when she was younger. And it's, again, the type of grace and kindness only upon, you know, again, only as an adult can you really look back on it saying like, you would have been well within your right to put us through some crazy chores, but you chose kindness instead.
And you would have had to walk 5 miles to school in the pouring rain and the snow and the ice.
Uphill both ways.
Right. Wow, you got lucky. Connie. Yeah. Is good. She's a good egg, that one. And how much?
I did walk to hockey practice in blizzards. She did. See, they definitely had some toughness about it. They didn't want, it wasn't about being soft. It was just about allowing kids to be kids. But there was a number of times I had to walk to hockey practice through a blizzard.
With your big, huge bag with all your hockey gear?
Yeah. And wow. Then just, yeah.
That'll build character.
So it was a nice mix. So it, like I said, it wasn't like they're going to go soft on us, but she wasn't going to put us through the rigors she went through.
Oh my gosh. This has been wonderful. Can I ask, did your mom and dad know each other as kids growing up?
Not as kids. They met in, I believe it was a high school graduation party. So it had been that long. So right out of high school, they met and never looked back.
That's wonderful. May that love and that energy go through the whole world, because we mm-hmm. need a lot more of that in the world today. That's for sure.
Agree.
Trevor Alexander, before we wrap up here, I want to mention your book that's coming out in May of 2022. Upcoming book title is An Ugly Design Career, The Uncommon Guide to Becoming an Always In-Demand Designer for Apps, Websites, and UI. Did I get that right?
That's the one.
Yay. Awesome. So tell me, you've been doing this UI, which is user interface work.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, and just stumbled into it. And, you know, just, and I'll tie it back to another mother story is
Please do.
Because I went to school for art. So I went to be an artist, which as a parent, I have to imagine it's a bit of a stretch to see your kid go off to become an artist. It's like, the term starving artist is there for a reason. But I had full support, and it's like, this is what you want to do. Like, we're going to support you 1,000%. You just tell us what you need. So what ended up happening, though, is through that course, I stumbled upon computer graphics. And from computer graphics, just fell in love with it, had a certain talent for it, and just proceeded to build out a career. So it was a self-taught career, and most of it with just incredible amounts of hard work and dedication. And again, like all that kind of feeding back to all those lessons that my mother had taught me, and all the respect that I had gained for her and how she'd stood up for herself. And I applied that to the career for sure. But, you know, through that 16-year career, one of the most interesting parts is I never applied for a job, and I never had a portfolio. And which in my industry is very odd in particular, because usually that's what, you know, the entire process of getting to work is.
Sure.
But what ended up happening is because just a certain way, and I'd give a lot of credit for that to my parents, like how I approach the work, how I approach the coworkers, how I did everything with care and kindness and tenacity, how I tried to solve problems like without having like all the answers out in front of me. It just resonated with people. And by focusing on those things, I was able to kind of circumvent the normal way to have a design career, which is, you know, self-focused and self-aggrandizing, with like, here's my portfolio, my amazing works. And instead it's just impressing upon people how much value you can bring and being pulled along for their adventures. So I think feeding off of many of the lessons from my mom and my dad, just built it into a career that just really was laid out for me, that along with the hard work. And this book is very much the capturing of those kind of unusual tactics that I think is not as espoused in my industry for UI and UX design.
Anybody and everybody these days needs a website or some sort of graphic design work. So
yep.
Kudos to you. That's really great, because you'll have plenty of work, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's an incredible field. Like it's so exciting, so dynamic. And for anyone who has a small creative inkling, the potential is fantastic. So I wish more people can come into it. And that's, you know, a lot of why I wrote this book.
Well, best of luck. And make sure we stay in touch and let me know what's going on. That would be great.
It'd be my pleasure.
Trevor Alexander, thank you for joining us from Ottawa, Canada. We'll keep an eye out for An Ugly Design Career, The Uncommon Guide to Becoming an Always In-Demand Designer for Apps, Websites, and UI. I am Jackie Tantillo, and I do want to do a shout out to all my listeners in Ventura, California area that are listening on KPPQ LP Ventura at 104.1 FM and streams on the MyTuner app and on capsmedia.org/radio. Should have listened to my mother. We'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you, Trevor.
You're welcome. It's an absolute pleasure.